On with Mario Lopez.
Maylin, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm excited and tired, but mostly excited.
Yeah, what's it been like since you've won?
It's been a lot of talking.
A lot of press.
But I haven't had the chance to like let it set in.
Yeah.
I don't think it's quite hit me. It feels still like kind
of
weird.
So it doesn't feel like you're the champ of The Voice yet.
No, not really.
Who was the first person you talked to after?
Well, my John Legend. But my family came onto the stage and that was amazing to share that with them. And then we did the press right after. But then my whole family, I had 42 people that came out for me.
Oh,
they
wow.
were at the show, somehow got tickets. My ride or dies for sure found a way in there. They were not going to let that happen without them. But we all met up and they threw a little party for me, made a cake, and it was so nice.
What did John Legend say to you?
Oh, he was just so excited. He said, he was like, you know, you should never know what's going to happen, but he said, you deserve to win this. And I'm just glad that it happened this way.
It's sort of like he gets part of your winning though, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
Do you credit him a lot?
Oh, yeah. You know, this is a difficult process and it's, you know, he made it a lot easier for me because you need somebody who has all that experience to kind of coach you through that. And that's exactly what he did. And you know, song choice is so important. And I didn't actually pick a lot of my songs. And he, after hearing my voice, actually was able to challenge me with songs I didn't think I would ever want to sing or could have sung. And he was like, no, I know your voice. It's going to be great. And so to have him have that kind of faith in me was everything.
Did you have a favorite song that you performed during the season?
It was funny because like each moment was kind of different and there was something that was elevated each time, but I will say The Scientist was a really special moment for me just because I love that song so much. And it was my first time that I felt like, because when we first got into the live shows, we had started with in-ears and I'd never worked with those before and it was kind of a mess for me. And I was thinking more about that than the actual performance. And The Scientist was the first one where I was used to everything and I could just perform.
Yeah.
And I could just sing the song and you know, do my thing. And so that was like the first time that I actually lost myself on stage, which is so nice to do. That's, you know, music is like a form of expression and self-therapy. So you want it to just feel like a release. And that was the first one that really felt like that.
When you were having trouble with the in-ear monitors, did you think that gave you a disadvantage?
Well,
do you think that would hurt you?
Yeah. I mean, I think that even if you don't have a hearing disability like I do, they are very different. It's like, it takes kind of like the life out of the sound because you're not getting the room sound.
Right.
And it's very focused in and it's very dry. And it's kind of like going into a recording booth for the first time. And I didn't know how it worked, especially because we started with generics and then we eventually, the further you go, you get customs, which are very different and it sounds like worlds better.
Did they pay for those for you?
Yeah.
Because those are expensive.
Yeah, those are expensive, but they did pay for those and I got to keep them.
So you went up against three of Blake's country singers in the finals.
Sure did.
What did you think your chances of winning were going into the finals?
Honestly, you just never know what's going to happen. In my mind, was never like, I'm in this to win this. I was very much like, I just want to give performances that I'm really proud of. And this is the time to like, this is a platform that, you know, not everyone gets. And I just wanted to give my best performances. But going into the finale, you know, the country is well loved in America. And these guys they're not just country singers. They're good country singers. They're really good. And Blake is very well loved as well. So I just didn't even know. All I wanted to do was kind of have this last show be a celebration of everything that, you know, John and I had done together and accomplishing things that I never thought I could do. Like that schedule was crazy. And
yeah.
So I exceeded my own expectations. And like, I was like, you know what? I just want to sing songs that I love. And I got to sing a duet with John Legend. Like that is bucket list stuff right there. So
even if you didn't win, you were happy, you were content.
I was.
But you wanted to win.
Well, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, yes, I did want to win because, you know, there is that pressure of the fact that it was, you know, being, it was a legendary season, you know, and,
yeah,
and I was the last horse in for his race, you know. So I had that, a little of that pressure on me, but I tried to like let that go until Carson said my name, and then I was like, yeah. And then John like rushed the stage and he was so excited, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've never seen you so excited.
You got to sing with John, obviously. How surreal was that moment?
That was incredible. And, you know, I grew up listening to Nat King Cole and Natalie Cole. And Nat King Cole has one of my favorite voices ever. And the first time that we did Unforgettable, he sounded like Nat. And there was something that I was like, oh, it's like I'm singing with Nat King Cole. He's like the modern day. Like, there's like...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I mean, yes, it's John Legend, like that in and of itself. But then I was like, oh my gosh, like there's something really special about this. And it was a surreal dream come true.
You got to sing with Sarah McLachlan,
yes,
as well. How many people have told you that that performance made them want to go donate to animals who need homes?
It was funny because every time I would talk about it, somebody would be like, oh, I need to show you this picture of a puppy. It would like bring up dogs for sure. I know it's it. And I thought about that. I was like, it's the meme song. Everybody's going to send me the puppies.
Sounded amazing, though.
It's such a gorgeous song. And she has been an inspiration for me for a really long time. So to meet her and also know that she's a really cool person.
Yeah.
Like so chill and so nice. That was, you know, you get nervous meeting your heroes because you never know what they're going to be like.
Some could be awful.
Yeah. And it's happened for me before. So, you know, I'm like, uh-oh. But she's just the coolest. And she was like, I'm excited to sing with you. And I was like, you excited to me? My gosh, I'm excited to sing with you.
That has to be an incredible moment.
Oh,
someone you look up to say that to you.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was just super surreal. And my uncle is her number one fan. Like,
was he one of the 42?
He was. And I remember making eye contact with him way across right when we got there, and he's like, he gets excited, but he's, you know, he's like a man's man, but like he was up there and I could see him going
kind of fangirled
out. Yeah.
That's pretty funny. You had mentioned that you know you're deaf in one ear.
Yeah.
Was that difficult for you to sort of find your pitch and stuff, to find your voice, like growing up?
Well, it was definitely something that I struggled with in everyday life growing up. I have to like move people to one side of me to hear them talk. But the thing about music is that it's about vibrations.
Right.
And I never feel like I have a hearing impairment when it comes to music because of the way it moves through the air. And I can hear really soft music actually, just because I can feel the vibrations. And I guess I'm sensitive to that. But, you know, it took me a long time to figure out that how I hear things is very different from how other people hear things. And, you know, I started basing my voice off of how I felt rather than what I was hearing.
Okay.
So it ended up being sort of an advantage in this process because during my performance of Stay, my in-ears went out halfway through. And I don't know if this one did, but this one for sure did. And I keep them both in just because I can feel the drum beat still.
Yeah.
And they were like, we've never worked with somebody who's had this disability. So I would keep them both in. And I was like, all right, like, I don't want to like test the limits of this in front of millions of people.
Not used to it.
Yes,
anyway. So
exactly. So they went out, and because of growing up and having some performances where I couldn't hear, I would check in with myself and go based off of feeling rather than what I was hearing. And I was able to do that then and kind of internalize everything and pull through. So it's kind of cool to know that like through technical difficulties, I can push through.
You can still go.
Yeah, yeah.
All four coaches turned their chairs during the blind auditions. What made you choose John Legend?
Well,
the fact that you're a big fan?
So yeah, for sure. And before I even...
Do you hate Adam Levine?
No, not at all. I don't. As opposed to like a lot of the... he's gotten so much hate.
Yeah, he's gotten a lot of flack.
I know from what happened, I guess, on season 15. But he's a great guy and he was always so kind to me. And he fought really hard for me, which I was like, oh, but John, I knew before I even got to that point, I said, if he turned, I'm going to pick John Legend because, you know, obviously he's an EGOT and like he's done all these amazing things and he's done so much with his career and that's inspiring in and of itself. But he's an amazing musician and like he's a storyteller, which I relate to.
Yeah.
And I just felt like we were kind of on the same wavelength and that we could work really well together and that it's his first season, so he'd be really fresh to it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
Probably really eager to win.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I feel like, you know, he has a lot to teach. And I was watching some interviews with him before I even started the process. And he was like, you know, I'm really excited with the idea of mentoring young artists and helping them become the best they can be. And he said, I have a background in that from growing up in the church and being like the worship leader. And that, I was like, wow, that's amazing. Like, and to know that that something like that excites him. Yeah. I wanted to be a part of that.
Yeah, of course. It's more exciting for you if your coach is actually
excited.
They're hungry for it as well. So, so what's in store next?
Well, now, some more press and then
it's got to feel endless, right?
No, I actually really enjoy it. It's like people want to talk to me. That's cool. Awesome. It's not gonna last forever, so enjoy it. But
you don't know that.
I don't know. But you know, now it's gonna be is the conversation with the label to find out exactly, you know, what steps we're taking to move forward and if we're gonna do a single, an EP or an album and what's gonna, you know, sound like. And I've written songs and I'll present them and see, you know, if we're meshing and we'll go from there and see, you know, we'll set up a timeline, but definitely music sooner than later and touring and all that.
On that note, what do you want the music to sound like?
Well, I mean, I'm rooted as like a singer songwriter and like alternative indie pop kind of vibes. And that's definitely where the roots are, but I grew up listening to so many different genres. And there's so much genre fluidity these days anyways that, you know, yes, I'll have those roots and there'll be that consistency through it and cohesiveness. Right. But I have different elements that come into play with my voice and my writing. And I, you know, I sometimes think that different genres evoke different emotions even. So just bringing different flares in there.
Who currently, like, that's out there is inspiring you a lot?
I definitely think Maggie Rogers is a big inspiration. There are so many. I still love Sarah Bareilles so much. I just love the way she writes. There are many. I'm trying to think of some more because, you know, growing up, I really loved, you know, Chris Martin, Coldplay.
Yeah.
And I listened to so many different types, Joni Mitchell. And I have like a very wide
range. No, but that's awesome. Because you can incorporate so many different things into what you're doing.
Yeah.
You mentioned Sarah Bareilles. Did you see her musical, Waitress?
Waitress, absolutely, yeah.
She was on with us not too long ago talking about that. And
she seems like a really cool chick.
She was, and Mario and his wife like loved that musical.
Yeah.
Like, they really loved it.
Yeah, she writes, I mean, the music is gorgeous. Obviously she wrote it.
If you were to spend the rest of your life making music, which I assume that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
What would you want to be remembered for?
Well, you know, I want to do many different things. And I think the main thing I want to be remembered for is that, you know, I was always honest and I was always a genuine person who brought human experiences to the music. And, you know, I don't just write music to sing. Like, it's all about feeling. It's about connection. But there are so many things I want to do. And, you know, eventually, like, I used to be in musical theater and I would not mind if the right project came along, I would be interested in exploring that. And I would love to do like voiceover work and film and TV and in writing. And, you know, there's a lot of things I want to do. And I've obviously, you know, now at this platform, this is a responsibility as a person with this platform to also educate myself with charities I want to be involved with. Yeah. And like, you know, there's, you have to honor the fact that people are listening to you. So
do you see yourself as sort of an inspiration to other people who have like, or who are hearing impaired or have the similar issues?
Yeah. Well, you know, I never even thought about that before I came onto the show because I, you know, grew up without thinking that it was like a disability. It was just something that I had. But I've received so many messages from people that have either suffered from it themselves or parents with children who have either deaf in one ear or hearing impaired. And they're like, you know, you can tell your kid all day that they're going to be okay and like it's all going to be fine, but they don't really know. And it's really scary for them. And I got a few messages from people saying, you know, I watched you with my child and I started weeping tears of joy because I was able to tell my kid, like, see, like, you don't have to view it as a disability. It can be something that makes you special.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Last thing. I'm going to put you on the spot. Quick questions.
Oh, gosh.
Quick answers.
All right.
Song you can't get out of your head.
What's the one we were just listening to by One Republic? What? Rescue Me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite TV show of all time.
Golden Girls.
You know, Mario was on Golden Girls.
Wait.
He played a kid that got deported.
Yeah. Oh my God.
He was like 12 or something, I think.
I'm dead.
Celebrity crush growing up.
Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley? I don't think he was alive when you were growing up.
He wasn't. And I used to watch Jailhouse Rock on repeat. My mom came in when I was like 8 and she was like, I was like, I'm going to marry him. And she's like, oh, baby, I'm sorry. He's not here. And I'm so sad.
Do you buy into the conspiracies that he's still alive?
Yes. I went to Graceland and they wouldn't let us upstairs. And I was like, he's up there.
Dream collaboration.
Oh.
Well, you've already had two collaborations.
I know.
Now.
John Legend. I would love to do an actual like duet with him that we write together. But there are so many. That's so hard. Sarah Bareilles.
Okay. Nickname growing up.
Maddie.
Okay. All-time favorite musical.
Classic would have to be gosh, I watched so many growing up. I was a nerd, if you haven't gathered. let me think here. Oh, gosh.
We're getting top three then.
Okay.
That's probably
so
easier.
So one of the newer ones, Next to Normal.
Okay.
So good. I loved...
Better say Waitress if you want that Sarah Bareilles collaboration.
Well, yeah. Yo, Waitress Michelle. classic though, I used to listen... I was in so many. I'm going to say Les Miserables.
Okay. And then last one, time travel destination. You can go back to any time, go into the future.
That is so evil. Because I want to do so many things. I want to see so many things.
You only do it once.
Okay. It would be to Elvis Presley's first concert.
That'd be pretty cool, though.
Yes. Before he was famous. So I could like, and before he met
Priscilla.
Priscilla.
It's Priscilla, right?
I switch up his daughters.
Yeah, no, I do that too, actually.
I'd be like, Priscilla, good. Move over.
Well, I
have to age myself backwards, though, because she was 14. I have to be like 13. I'm even younger.
That's kind of messed up.
That's messed up. That's really messed up. Don't air that.
We'll cut it out. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
On with Mario Lopez.